If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
8:01 in the a.m. on this Taco Tuesday. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline. He is Steve Molesky. Good morning to you, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Hey, man, after losing Bradish and Grayson, I know he says he's optimistic about it, but man, I didn't want to hear that about Zach Eflin last night. He's been the team's best starter, most consistent starter since joining the team last July.
He's been nails for the Orioles, Rob, and it's like how many pitching injuries can one team take? And perhaps an encouraging note is for me, that he did the post-game interview. He came out rather than just go get treatment and be concerned and not talk to the reporters. So maybe that was a good sign, A. And then B, he said he was very optimistic about it. And C, he had this last year. If you go back and look from like mid to late August, same thing. And he came back in September and made five starts with an ERA of 3. So hopefully, knocking on wood for him and the Orioles, because this guy's been so good since they got him, man. He had 3 runs or less every start. He's pitched for the Orioles.
A lot of talk about the – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
Looks right. Hey, Steve, a lot of criticism with Brandon Hyde about putting in Jorge Mateo over Cedric Mullins. Farron, I mean, Cedric's one of the best center fielders in baseball. He's on fire right now at the plate. You put in a guy who's a middle infielder who hasn't gotten a hit yet. Is the criticism deserved?
I guess maybe, except you got to say a couple things in Hyde's defense, and Hyde said the same. That Cedric, because he's had some leg injuries the last couple of years, they're going to give him occasional days, even early in the year. And he knew he was going to play him all 3 games in Arizona with right-handers coming up. So looking ahead, he said, well, if I'm going to pick a day to give him off, why don't I give him off against the lefty? And then, of course, Mateo botches a play right at the start of the game. So, I mean, the Orioles love Mateo, and they think he can play outfield, and I think he can too. I think he's played it well at times, but just so inexperienced out there. But to me, he didn't botch that ball because he's not a good outfielder. He just didn't see the ball, or I don't know what happened. I don't know how he missed that. I mean, that's a play that a bad outfielder should make. So he didn't make it, and it cost him. And, you know, the other thing we have to realize is the Orioles, they just do the left-right bit. They just do. They believe in it. They're going to do it. I mean, to me, Ed, I thought it was more the bigger issue for me was Jackson Holliday not starting, because the kid's been off to a great start. He had 3 hits. He's 21. He doesn't need a day off, a week and a half into the season. And when he's rolling like he's rolling, you go back to the end of last year, of the last 9 or 10 games, he's hitting .400. So I would have, after 3 hits, man, I'd have had him back out there.
Yeah, sorry, Ed. I was a little premature. Now you can understand how my wife feels.
Hey, exactly.
Steve, as you were just talking about it, because we had a pitcher on the mound that was reverse splits. And, you know, analytically speaking, I think you look at certain things. I understand why they do the lefty-righty thing, where some fans just don't get it. I was telling Ed yesterday that analytical guys don't believe in hot and cold streaks. You are what you are. What do you think about, like, I mean, you mentioned Holiday, but I was a little upset not to see Kjærstedt in the lineup, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I would be fine with just letting Holiday and Kjærstedt go and play, man. And letting some of these other guys be reserve guys. But I mean, the Orioles really love Mateo, and they know he can hit lefties, and they love what he brings. So they like to get some of these guys in. They acquired Liriano to hit against lefty pitching. So he's going to play some when they face lefties. And so I just don't like their lineup as well against lefties. They do against righties right now. And I think fans really want to see the young kids play, man. They've been hearing nothing about, but hype about Kjærstedt and Jackson for years. So they're finally here. And I mean, Mike Elias even said Kjærstedt's going to get a lot of at bats. So I think the fans are like, okay, so let's do it. But I know the Orioles, the Orioles score well in these databases that study how teams play the platoon splits. In other words, okay, you go lefty right a lot. Does it work out for you? And it does work out for them a lot, and they won a lot of games the last couple of years, but it still creates frustrations. You know, for me, it did. For me, it was like, wasn't so much Mateo, because I know they love him. They're going to get him in against some lefties. I just thought Jackson had three hits, man. What's he doing not playing?
Steve Molesky joined us to talk some baseball. I want to go back to the Mateo thing, because I know Jeremy and I have been asking this now for about 3 years. You're right. They love him. They do. But why? I just don't understand the love affair. I don't, for the life of me. You know, he's fast. You know, I get that. But I don't get much more than that. He's bad. I mean, his splits career-wise against left-handed pitching is a batting average of .238, his OPS of .683. Now, when you compare it to righties, .212 versus .238, you compare OPS .683 to .605, yes, he's better against lefties, but neither are good. I don't get the love affair.
Well, I can't argue with you, Rob. I really can't. I think you make great – everything you said is right. The Orioles have seen him in small doses look like Mike Trout at the plate, but that happened in small doses, and it was never consistent. And the numbers just don't hold up for his career. So if we're talking track record here, that's the confusing part. We know he can play great defense in the infield, but they got a shortstop right now, so there's not a spot for him there. And if you play him somewhere that's not shortstop, he's a little out of position, although he's a good defender. And if you play him in the outfield, he's got great athletic skills, but he just doesn't have experience out there. So in their effort to extract every advantage in the batting order, it's costing them. So they keep going with it. Maybe it's that analytics you say that's what the analytics believe, what they believe, and the Orioles seem to believe in that too.
How do you feel about the team overall? Just, you know, I know it's only 11 games in, but right now, I mean, the injuries bug has already bitten them. You saw what happened last year, playing in the toughest division in Major League Baseball. How do you feel with the current players we have in this on this roster with this good young core of talent?
I mean, the start worried me. It wasn't so much losing 6 out of 10, because that can happen to even the best teams. It's how they look doing it, and it's how it impacted all aspects of the game. It's averaging 5 runs a game is fine unless you do it by getting 8 one night and 2 the next. That won't work. And not getting the quality starts. Eflin's still the only one who's thrown one. And the defense making physical and mental mistakes. So it was there were leaks in the dike everywhere you looked. And I'm saying that's just not Oriole baseball we're used to. And they ended last year in a little bit of a malaise. So if you go back to last year, this is longer than 10 games. And so now you got to say, what is this who they are? I mean, I don't want to believe that, and I don't think it's going to prove to be true. And last night was very encouraging. So every time they've had a game like this year, they threw a clunker in the next night. Good time to reverse that trend and start to prove they're not who they look like in the first 10 games.
Steve Molesky, thanks a lot, my friend. Look forward always to talking Orioles baseball with you, man.
All right, Rob. We'll see you.
All right.
Thanks Steve.
Yeah, just, you know, I know they've won, they've lost consecutive games, but they haven't won them yet.
And you can check out Steve on Substack, too. That's where he's writing now. Okay. So good stuff for him. He's putting a lot of, there's some insider stuff. There's some basic stuff on there, too. So kind of what he was doing at Madison.
He knows baseball, man.
Yeah.